Girivana Dari. Gopijana Valava Girivana Dari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Dari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Dari. Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Thira Vanachari. Yamuna Thira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Dari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Dari. Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Thira Vanachari. Yamuna Thira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Janavishnapad Bhana Mahamsa Pravijakacharya Asta Tarasita Shishimad His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Gaura Vaishnavana Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Prema Zagahara, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Sri Mayapanavidam Ki Jai, Gangamaya Ki Jai, Jamunamaya Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, All Glorious Sama Devotees, All Glorious Sama Devotees, All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Oh, 28 is on the board. Really? All right. Which verse is that? Huh? 8, 18, 28? 21. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18, Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation, text number 21. 21 to 32, which verse is on the board? 28. Okay, so I'll just read the English until we get to 28. While engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigu Kutcha, on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priest, along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or the fire god had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and the water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Appearing as a Brahmana boy, wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deerskin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. And now text 28. Tatpada Sauchang Jana Kamasapaham Sa Dharmavin Murdni adarhat samangalam yad devadevo girisas chandramaulir dadhara murdhana paraya cha bhaktya tatpada saucham janakama sapaham. The Dharma Vinmurd Yudhid Hat Samangalam Yudeva Devo Girisas Chandramolir Tadhara Murdna Parayacha Bhaktya Tat Pada Socham Janakama Sapaham. The Dharma Vinmud Yudhid Hat Samangalam Yadeva Devo Girisas Chandramulir Tadhara Murdhna Vrayacha Bhaktya Tadpada Socham Janakama Sapaham. The Dharma Vinmud Yudhid Hat Samangalam Yadeva Devo Visas Chandramulir Tadhara Murdhna Puriyacha Bhaktya. Matajis. Tadbhāda socham the water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord. Tenakamasa apaham, which washes away all the sinful reactions of the people in general. Sa hi Bali Maharaj Dharmavit, completely aware of religious principles. Murdni, on the head. Adadhat, carried. Sumangalam, all auspicious. Yat, which. Deva Deva, the best of the demigods. Girisa, Lord Shiva. Chandamuri, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon. The Dhara, carried. Murdna, on the head. Pareya, supreme. Cha, also. Bhaktya, with devotion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhara, or one who carries the water of the Ganges on his head. On Lord Shiva's forehead is the emblem of the half-moon. Yet to give supreme respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva placed the water of the Ganges above this emblem. This example should be followed by everyone, or at least by every devotee. Because Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans, similarly, Maharaj Bali also later became a Mahajan. One Mahajan follows another Mahajan. And by following the parampara system of Mahajana activities, one can become advanced in spiritual consciousness. The water of the Ganges is sanctified because it emanates from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj washed the lotus feet of Vamadeva, and the water with which he did so became equal to the Ganges. Bali Maharaj, who perfectly knew all religious principles, therefore took that water on his head, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukram Kodiva Chalung Pungun Langhaya Te Gurim Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpa Tribhyasta Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Bali Maharaj is an extraordinary character, because although he was born in a family of demons, he became a great, great Vaishnava. Now, Prahlad Maharaj also, he was born in this family of Hiranyakasipu, but he always exhibited the nature of a devotee. Whereas Bali Maharaj, he fought the demigods. Demigods are devotees. Of course, they're Sakama devotees, but they're devotees. Defeated Indra, took over the whole universe. So, although Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they're related, grandfather and grandson, they both became great devotees, but there's a big difference there. Bali Maharaj actually was killing demigods, devotees. So, of course, Indra was in big anxiety. And demigods are in big anxiety. What to do? So, Krishna, he's brilliant. So he came up with a great idea. He'll disguise himself as this dwarf brahmana. And he knew Bali Maharaj is very inclined towards charity. And so this small dwarf brahmana comes before him. And Bali Maharaj says, I'll give you anything you want. Just ask for anything you want. Because he had this inclination to give charity. But his spiritual master said, No. You don't. This is Vishnu. He's come in disguise. Yeah. He's tricking you. And Bali Maharaj said, that's okay. I've already made my promise. So this is interesting because Sukracharya is a brahmana and he should be giving to Vishnu, to Krishna. But he's trying to tell his disciple, don't go, don't give. So here is someone who's supposed to be, you know, pure, he's acting in an impure way. Don't give to Vishnu. But Bali Maharaj, who's a demon, supposed to act in an impure way, he's acting in a pure way. No, I promise it, I'm going to give to him. Whatever. There's a statement. Suchihoi, muchihoi, yadi Krishna chaje, muchihoi, suchihoi, yadi Krishna bhaje. That one may be born into a very pure pukka family, brahmana family, but if he's not a devotee, then he's not suchi, he's muchi. And someone may be born into a very muchi family, like many of the members of our ISKCON society were born into the family of cow eaters. You know, the dog eaters are supposed to be like the worst. But cow eaters are even worse because the cow is so dear to Krishna. So many members of ISKCON are cow eaters. But somehow, by coming in contact with Krishna, they became devotees. They became suchi. Born muchi, became suchi. So the goal is to become suchi, to become clean. And Bali Maharaj, he is such a wonderful example because there's many different aspects of surrender. Anaku yasya sankapa pratiku yasya vajanam rakshishi titi vishvashu gopta te sarnam yatha. The first one, accepting things favorable for devotional service. So here in this verse we're hearing how Bali Maharaj, he took the water from the feet of Vamanadeva for his purification. That's very favorable. Very favorable. And he's giving donation to Vamanadeva. He didn't know how much he was going to give. He was thinking, I'll give you some village, just whatever you want. So that's very favorable. He's offering donation to Vamanadeva. There's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita which Prabhupada says is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Yat kroshi yadasnasi yat jujahosi didasi yat yatabashyasi kaunti tat krusa mararpanam. Prabhupada says this is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you perform, should be done as an offering to me. Summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So all that we do, so we're doing a lot of things. In the material world, people are doing a lot of things. So whatever we do it for Krishna. All that you eat, we only eat foods that have been offered to Krishna. Just like previously, us Westerners, we used to go in these supermarkets. You don't have these huge supermarkets here in India, but in America they have these huge supermarkets. And many of us Westerners, we would eat all kinds of stuff in there. But now, having contact with Krishna, we practically don't eat anything in there anymore. Just vegetables and fruits. But there were so many things we used to eat. But now, just like Prabhupada was speaking about this, he said, my Western devotees, my disciples, they used to eat hamburgers. They used to eat cow. But now, if you offer them one of these, they're called hamburgers, the cow in between slices of bread. But you offer that to them now, even you give them $1 million, I'll give you $1 million if you eat this hamburger. No, they won't do it. Because we know Krishna won't be pleased. So we eat only Krishna prasadam. And this purifies. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is all about purification. Doing whatever we do for Krishna, this is purifying. Honoring foodstuffs been offered to Krishna is purifying. Chanting the holy name, Krishna, is very purifying. Just like we have this false ego by which we think we're a businessman or engineer or doctor or big devotee. So this false ego causes inflammation. Therefore, there's a saying, we get puffed up, right? But there's an anti-inflammatory medicine. And that anti-inflammatory medicine is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. By chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we come to the reality that we're not this body, that we're very, very, very small. How small? 1/10,000 size of a tip of a hair. I mean, we are small. We're so small, we can't even be seen by a microscope. A very powerful microscope can't allow us to be seen. We're so small. Actually, materially, we don't even exist. We don't even exist materially. Although we have, because of this false ego, we think we're this, we think we're that, but we do not even exist because the body is dead. It appears to be alive because we're in the body, you know, we're able to move around and talk. But if I were to leave this body right now, what would this body do? It would just lay limp, lifeless. It's only because I'm in the body that this body appears to be alive. So materially we don't even exist, but spiritually, whoa, we have a very big position. We're sons or daughters of God. We're part of God. Very, very big position. Just like someone's the president, there's some person, the president of the United States, the daughter or the son of the president, that's like, you know, that's big. Or prime minister, the son of the prime minister of England, just to be the son of such a great person, that's big. But that's nothing. We're the sons, daughters of God. I mean, that's a big position. But people have forgotten. People have forgotten this big, huge position that we have. So the purpose of this movement is to remind people. To remind people of who they are. That they have a very, very big position. Yeah. So now people, they have amnesia. They've forgotten who they are. So we're meant to try to remind people. There was one interesting incident that happened in California. One student was riding his bike. And he crashed. Big crash. He stood up and he had total amnesia. knew nothing, didn't know his name, didn't know where he lived, zero. So he's like confused. What do I do? So he picked up his bike and he's walking it. And one devotee is distributing books nearby. And he stops the student and says, "Oh, how you doing? Where are you from?" "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know?" "Yeah, I just wrecked my bike and I have no memory. No, I don't know my name. I don't know where I live. I don't know anything." So the devotee said, "Well, I'll tell you who you are. You're the eternal servant of Krishna." And he thought, "Oh, good. Now I know something at least." So this devotee understood this student's very awkward situation. So he took him under his wing. He had a flat there in Santa Barbara. So he took this student and he trained him up in Krishna consciousness, taught him, you know, as much as he could about Krishna. He became a devotee, became a good book distributor, and just lived a wonderful life. Then after a couple years, he wanted to find out who he was materially. He found out who he was spiritually, a servant of Krishna, good devotee, initiated. So he went to that school where he crashed his bike, and he got some photocopies of his face, and the caption was, "I have amnesia, I forgot who I am. If you know me, call this number." So about six people called up, "Yeah, I know you, you're this and that," and found out who his family was and everything. And what's ironic is he found out that before he had this bike crash, he was a big atheist. So Krishna had him covered all that up, just covered all that atheism up, and became a good devotee, still a good devotee. You know, Krishna has an amazing way of doing things, you know. So many people in this world have this amnesia. And these books that we distribute are meant to help people become reminded of who they are. And so much preaching. Here in India, it's amazing how much successful preaching is going on at the colleges, which Prabhupada said is so wonderful, because from this college preaching, leaders come out. I was just speaking to one devotee yesterday about how much preaching they're doing in Chaupati. You know, they started, Radhana Swami started in Chaupati, and there was just a couple devotees there, two or three devotees. And he kept preaching and kept preaching. Gradually it increased and increased and increased and increased and increased and increased. Now there's 55, satellite temples around India. 55 satellite centers from Chaupati. So he's getting all these qualified leaders and he's sending them all over India, and they're making so many devotees. It's amazing. So this is actually what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted this movement to spread all over the world. He wanted everybody to hear about Krishna. Some devotees are satisfied with their own Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, he said some people, they go to the Himalayas and they do their sadhana. They try to advance in their spiritual life. But I'm not only interested in my spiritual advancement. I want others to also hear about Krishna. This is a devotee. This is how devotee feels. So this is very favorable for our advancement in Krishna consciousness, to help others advance towards Krishna. So anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam lakshishya titi vishvashu goptrutte sharanamyata. So accepting things favorable for devotional service, rejecting things unfavorable for devotional service. So Bali Maharaj was in a very awkward situation, because his spiritual master gave him an instruction don't give. He's tricking you. This is Vishnu. So he, understanding that his spiritual master had gone off, he rejected him. He rejected him and gave. He kept his promise. So, accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. It was very unfavorable for a spiritual master to tell him to do the wrong thing. And sometimes that happens. A spiritual master, even within our society, ISKCON, sometimes spiritual masters have gone off and sincere disciples have rejected. Sometimes that happens. So it's not just guru that we follow. It's guru, shastra, and sadhu. Not just guru. So therefore we have to know Srila Prabhupada's books very well. So we know what is the right thing to do, what is the wrong thing to do. And everything is very clear. Very clear. Prabhupada said, everything is in my books. And one time he said, my books are better than me. Because he said, I put everything there. Yeah. So we're very fortunate to have this guidance of Srila Prabhupada, this guidance of Krishna, and the example of Bali Maharaj. He's the example of someone who surrendered everything. There's this nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is very famous, one of the most famous, Sarva Dhammam Parichaja, Momikam Saranam Vaja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papijo, Mokshyasimami Masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I'll free you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. One of the most important statements in the Bhagavad Gita. There's one scholar that was commenting on the Bhagavad Gita, and when he came to this verse, in the commentary to this verse, this so-called scholar says, Krishna is asking for too much. That's his commentary. But this fool didn't know that if someone surrenders completely to Krishna, they get Krishna. So the devotee comes out really ahead. Yeah. He really comes out. You get Krishna. It's like Bali Maharaj. He surrendered to Vamanadev. And he got Vamanadev. He achieved the goal of life. The Supreme Lord. Indra defeated, in one sense, he got his kingdom back. But he only got the kingdom. He only got the kingdom. That's nothing. It's going to be gone in no time. Right? So how unfortunate. So Bali Maharaj, he actually conquered. He won. Because he got the eternal association of Lord Vamadeva. Indra, he's going to die and who knows where he goes. So this is the goal, to attain Krishna. Yeah. Then we're completely satisfied. Otherwise, there's no satisfaction in this material world. No matter what adjustments people make, there's no satisfaction in this world. Therefore, the conditioned souls are hankering and they're lamenting. Hankering for sense gratification. In the Bhagavatam it stated, Lata Tapakari, that whatever we try to enjoy in this world, whatever we try to enjoy in this world, that very thing that we're trying to enjoy becomes a source of misery. That's the nature of this world. Whatever it is we're trying to enjoy in this world, it will become a source of misery. And therefore Krishna calls it Dukalyam Ashasvatam. It's a place of suffering. Prabhupada says in one purport, the devotees of the Lord, they travel all over the world and try to instruct people, don't try to find happiness in a place where happiness is only a myth. It's only a myth. Just like people think, especially in the West, they think Hinduism is, they call it Hindu mythology. Very common. That's just like an understanding in the West. Hindu mythology. But actually what is real mythology is thinking that one will find any happiness in the material world. Maybe a little bit, as it said, like a drop of water. One may be in the desert, dying of thirst. Someone comes and gives a drop. What's a drop of water going to do? That's the pleasure in the material world. Everybody wants an ocean of happiness. But you don't find that here. No, there's no ocean of happiness. There's an ocean of suffering, actually. It's an ocean of suffering. Yeah. So real happiness is in serving Krishna. This is the pleasure of the soul. It's like sometimes it's been known that book distribution can be a little difficult. And therefore one Sankirtan leader went to Prabhupada when Prabhupada was visiting the temple. And the Sankirtan leader said, "Prabhupada, the Sankirtan devotees, they say, book distribution, it's too much anxiety." And Prabhupada said, "No, this is spiritual anxiety. This is good. This is good." He said, just like the gopis, they see Krishna going out into the forest with his bare feet, and there's thorns and stones. And Prabhupada said they're experiencing so much anxiety upon seeing this that they faint. They faint. And Mother Yasoda, when she saw Krishna in the Jamuna, caught by the coils of Kaliya, so much anxiety. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they're in anxiety, big anxiety. Krishna's caught by this demon. Yeah. And they're thinking he's going to die at any moment. So there's huge anxiety. Mother Yasoda, she's ready to go into the Jamuna to save him because she's thinking he's just my little boy. He's going to die. I have to save him. And Nandamaras had to stop her. And there was only one person that wasn't in anxiety. Who was that? Balaram. He's just laughing. "Ah, it's okay. He'll be all right. You know, it's Krishna. You don't know Krishna yet. He'll be all right." So then, of course, Krishna, he said, "All right, too much anxiety. Too much anxiety for the residents of Vrindavan." Then he started dancing on the hoods. What mercy, huh? Krishna's so merciful, huh? Dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So he's dancing and he's dancing and he's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and poison is coming out. Fire and poison, it's all coming out. He's getting purified by the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like we're hearing here that the water touched the lotus feet of the Lord, you touch that water, so much purification. So Kaliya is getting even more purification. You know, got the feet of Krishna right on his head. What mercy, huh? What did he do in his past life to get that mercy? Right? And then he had wives that were also devotees. So they're praying to Krishna. So he's getting mercy from both sides. His wives are praying for mercy. And he's getting mercy from above. So then Krishna says, "All right." And then he becomes a devotee. Prabhupada said that when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is dancing on our tongue. And the poison is coming out. We just have to keep chanting. Some of us have more poison than others. Some of us have a lot of poison. So we have to do a lot of... Prabhupada said we should live a very long life because we need a lot of purification. Right? So this chanting of Hare Krishna, this hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all these favorable things, they help us to become purified. And that's the goal. And when we're completely purified, all we want to do is serve Krishna, then we're happy. Then we're satisfied. Nothing else is going to bring satisfaction. Yeah. So, Anukha Yashya Sankapa, Pratikha Yashya Varjanam, Rakshishititi Vishwashu Goptu Te Saranamyata, Atmanikshepa Karpanye, Sadvita Saranagati. So he was very humble also. This is another exhibition of his qualities here. He is very, very humble. He was caught. Now here he is. He conquered the universe. And he's caught by the coils of who? Vasuki, right? So he's caught. And it's described, I was just reading, he was put in a cave. In the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned he was put in a cave, completely humiliated, caught. Yeah. So then, and the reason he was caught was because he offered two steps of land, but two steps, they covered the whole universe. Now, where do I put my third one? You cheated. What is this? You offered me, you said you'd give it to me now. There's nothing left. Please put it on my head. Put it on my head. So, therefore he became the great Vaishnava. Not many devotees are tricked by Krishna, but this is a transcendental trick. He came there as a child dwarf, and he's asking for some alms, but he didn't know. Balimars didn't know this is Vishnu, so he came in a disguise. Sometimes Krishna does that. He's very good at disguises. So he disguised as this dwarf brahmana and tricked him, got everything he wanted. So Indra got the universe back, Bali got devotional service. So Krishna's very expert at satisfying everyone. Indra was satisfied, but not ultimately satisfied. He got some temporary satisfaction. But Bali Maharaj, he got the ultimate satisfaction of pure devotional service, of the example of someone who surrendered everything. So there's another example of Krishna's disguising himself. In Vrindavan, Krishna was with the gopis there, and he saw Abhimanyu coming, and he told the gopis, "Watch this." So he disguised himself as Abhimanyu, and he went to Jatila. "Mata, Krishna is coming. He's disguised as me. He's going to try to trick you. So I just want to let you know." So then Abhimanyu is coming, and Jatila, she's gotten word from Krishna that Krishna's coming disguised. So she gets her broom and she comes out, says, "You Krishna, don't try to trick me." And she's beaten him. She's beaten Abhimanyu. "Well, no, Mama, what are you doing? I'm Abhimanyu. I'm not Krishna." No, I know you're disguised. You're Krishna, you're nonsense. And she's hitting him. She's hitting him. No, I'm your son. Don't, come on, be nice. Yeah. So then, of course, the gopis got a good laugh out of this. So he comes in many, many disguises for the pleasure of his devotees. And Bali Maharaj, of course, he got great pleasure out of surrendering to Krishna. So this is an example. Of course, he gave everything to Vamanadeva, but actually everything belongs to Krishna. Isa vashyamidang sarvam yat kinchya jagat yam jagat chena chaktena bunjita ma gudha kashvasiddhanam. Everything that exists is owned and controlled by Krishna. Therefore, we should only accept that which we need as our quota and not accept more. So, Bali Maharaj had a little bit more than his quota. Quite a bit more. He had the whole universe. And he was thinking it was his. But no. No. As soon as we even think a piece of paper is ours, then we become fallen. Nothing is ours. We may have computers or cell phones or apartments or this or that. Nothing is ours. We're born in this world with nothing but our desires. And we leave with nothing but our desires. Now we're born in this world with our material desires. The goal is to leave this world with no material desires, just spiritual desires, just one desire, and that is to serve Krishna. So this whole process, this sadhana bhakti, is to prepare us for that moment when we have to leave this body. What are we going to be thinking of? And whatever it is that we're attached to, That's what we're going to think of. So we're trying to become attached to Krishna. And attachment begins with attention. Prabhupada said devotional service means attention to the details. There's so many details in all of our services. So we have to do everything very, very attentively. And if we do things attentively, then we're going to be attracted to Krishna. Then there'll be, if we're not attentive, how are we going to be attracted to Krishna? It's not possible. Therefore, one of the 10 offenses, one of the main offenses we commit is inattentive chanting. Or also, sometimes we're reading and we're inattentive. I've had the experience. I read a whole page and nothing went in. You know, my mind is, you know, somewhere else. Yeah. So we have to do everything very attentively. Then we become attracted. Then we become attached. Then we become attached to Krishna. And eventually, we become addicted to Krishna. That's the goal. Addicted. We have to think of Krishna. We can't let a moment go by without thinking of Krishna. Addicted to Krishna. Previously, we're addicted to sense gratification. You know, now we want to be addicted to Krishna. And this is the real satisfaction of the senses. So, any question or comment? Yes. Do we have a microphone? Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You said that there is certainly a difference.
Yes, speak loudly.
There is certainly a difference in spiritual benefit. One knowingly performs activities favorable to Krishna consciousness and one who performs unknowingly. And here Bali Maharaj is performing all the activities which are favorable to Krishna consciousness unknowingly. And ultimately he got Krishna himself, Vamanadeva.
Uh-huh.
So how to understand this?
Okay, good question. Difference? So initially he just thought he was a dwarf Brahmana boy, just Brahmana boy. So he offered him some donation. Ask anything you want. So then Bali Maharaj, he asked for 3 paces of land. So Sukracharya said, don't do it. Well, actually, before he offered the land, before Vamanadeva just asked for 3 paces of land. His spiritual master said, don't do it. This is Vishnu. So even though he knew this is Vishnu. He didn't back off. He still did the service. So he knowingly engaged in devotional service. This is Vishnu. Still I'm going to serve him. Whatever you want, take it. So he knowingly engaged in devotional service. That's why he could have backed off. You know, he's a demon. He could have backed off, even though he made a promise. But he said, no, I've made the promise, I'm keeping it. So he knowingly did that, therefore he became the Acharya on he who gave everything to Krishna. Okay? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. You mentioned that Krishna is very expert in fulfilling all desires. And you gave the example how he fulfilled. Indra was satisfied, and Bali Maharaj was satisfied. Everyone was satisfied. But what about Sukracharya? What happened to him?
So the question is, Bali Maharaj walked away satisfied. Indra walked away satisfied. What about Sukracharya? Well, he made a big blunder. If we do blunders, you know, like most people in this world, you know, they do things which are not pleasing to Krishna, then they're not satisfied. You know. They're not satisfied. One becomes satisfied, therefore it's stated, Krishna bhakti nishkama ateva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikami sakli ashanta. The devotees of the Lord are very peaceful. Why? Because their only desire is to serve Krishna. But those persons who have material desires, like Sukracharya, what was he thinking? He was thinking that if Bali gives everything to Vamana, which he's going to do soon, I lose everything. I don't get my maintenance anymore. How am I going to be? He was in anxiety. How am I going to be maintained? So he had a material consciousness, material anxiety. Therefore, he didn't become satisfied. Krishna satisfies those who want to surrender to him, who want to serve him. And Indra also, he's a devotee. He wanted to serve Krishna. But again, he's a Sakama devotee. He still had some desires there. He wanted to manage. So, all right, you want to serve me in that way? That's okay. So he walked away satisfied. But Sukracharya had no interest in serving at all. Therefore, he walked away unsatisfied.
Which kind, because Brahmanas, they recite the Vedas, so which kind of mantras was he reciting? Because in the example of you gave about chanting, that Krishna chants, dances in our tongue, and then our heart is purified. So which kind of mantras was he chanting?
I have no idea. But they weren't good ones. Because they didn't surrender. You know, Prabhupada said, actually it's in Shastra, I think. In Kali Yuga, demons take birth in Brahmin families. So apparently not only in Kali Yuga, in other ages also. You know, it's not that uncommon for Brahmanas to not be devotees. And they're probably not chanting very auspicious mantras because they're not surrendering to Krishna. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. One last question. It's getting over time here. The microphone is just now coming. Speak loudly. That microphone doesn't work too good.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I come from Hyderabad, India, where Prabhupada performed Sankirtan Yajna, and the famines went away. So I think you performed it without offenses. And
okay, we have some children here talking. And also the microphone is not very loud. Speak a little loudly in the microphone. It's working, but you just have to speak more loudly.
I was saying that how Srila Prabhupada performed Sankirtana Yajna in Hyderabad, India. I was saying that he performed it without offenses and with full faith in Krishna. And so the famines went away. And so I had been reading a lot of books and also listening to Gurgaon Swami's lectures. So in there he explains, gives the definition of faith. He says that Krishna karma...
Definition of what?
Faith in the Lord, faith in Krishna.
Faith in the Lord, okay.
So he says that faith means that Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita haya. If you perform Krishna bhakti, then all of your other dharmas, you don't have to perform them. It is all inclusive. And then he says that you have to preach this faith with, uccha kari. There is one shloka he writes, Uccha Sankirtana Kari Shraddhara Prachara. You chant Hare Krishna loudly and then preach about this faith. And then this is faith, he explains. So you were mentioning about devotees going away. I also feel that. And then about the sannyasis. So this famine of devotees going away and then all other things can be sorted out. This philosophy of this definition of faith and then the Sankirtana without offenses, I think these principles can be put intact when there are these ministries like home ministry and also religion ministry, which Prabhupada used to talk about in his conversations with some visitors. This is there in the Hare Krishna Challenge book. So he was wanting this religion ministry for the governments outside. So I was thinking that we may also have benefits by bringing in this ministry into ISKCON. by wherein we can protect these principles and protect the devotees from deviations also. And then there is, Prabhupada also wanted constitution. So I think to get that we should perform, initiate Sankirtana Yagyas without offenses and with full faith. Gaur Govind Swami was mentioning that 99.9% devotees in America are losing faith, and that is causing problem. So would you please say something about it?
You make some very good suggestions. Okay. I suggest that you present this to the GBC.
I wish I could.
Okay? Because there's nothing I could do
I
about
pray
this.
They listen to this lecture, yours and my comment, humble comment.
Thank you very much for the comment.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.